Hey guys, it's the Handmaid's Tale After Show. We're talking kidnapped babies, leather fingers, and arson. And stay tuned for our Resist Sister of the Week. All right, see you in a minute.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back. It's been a year. It's been a nightmare in real life, you guys. But welcome to the Handmaid's Tale After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We're talking season 3, episode 1, 2, and 3. That's Night, Mary and Martha, and Useful. Okay, so... Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
First thoughts.
I want to take a breath just like you, because that is like... Yeah, there's so much.
But I'm sorry, I totally messed that up. Before we go into first thoughts and all that kind of stuff, yeah. People should probably know who we are, because we have like new people on the panel and everything. Sorry, been out of practice. I'm Adrienne Snow. You guys know me from season 1 Handmaid's Tale, and that one episode I came in to rant about race.
Hi, Veronica. Everyone. Yeah, it's Veronica Briga. I'm back, and welcome. Thanks for joining us.
And I'm Lauren Hubbard. I am new to The Handmaid's Tale, but been watching since season 1, so very excited to share my thoughts.
Yes, well, welcome. Carrie, unfortunately, cannot be with us this season. She might drop in occasionally just to say hello. Yeah. We might have a few guests coming along as well. Leslie also won't be able to join us, but maybe she'll be able to stop in and say hi occasionally.
That's right.
And before we go into first thoughts, out of practice, I also want to say stay tuned for our news and special segment, Resist Sister of the Week. Thank you guys so much. Okay, and now, first thoughts.
Yes, it was good to be back and see everything. The house burned down. That was amazing. Mm-hmm. That was a huge moment for me. And I don't know, it's just this man, this Mr., what's his, Joseph Lawrence. Mm-hmm. I still, my whole thing with him is I'm just trying to figure him out.
Yeah.
And, so my overall thoughts is this man good? Is this man bad? I just, we got a lot to look forward to.
Lauren?
My overall thoughts was a lot to take in, mm-hmm. 3 episodes. But you know what? I wasn't crying. You know, usually when I'm watching the show, I'm crying. Mm-hmm. I'm like... You know, it just has me so pulled in. The episodes were very good, but I wasn't left with a feeling like last season left mm-hmm. me with. Like, you know, like a pain in my heart. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely getting some different vibes from this season.
Yeah, I really liked the first 3 episodes. I think I didn't cry either the entire episode. I don't know if that's because my soul is hardened from real life news, but...
It's very possible,
It's very possible. I'm just like... Okay, this is the future, but overall, it was just it feels like it's a different season as well, in terms of it's not going to be about being sad. It's going to be about being resistant. Mm-hmm. So that's the feeling that I got from it
and
overall.
Fighting back. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, so let's just go right into it then. So we start with Miss Emily finally escaping. Gilead, after being mutilated, after going to the colonies, after watching her love be hanged, she finally gets a little bit of respite and goes to Canada. How do we feel about that?
That was so great to watch. We needed that. My favorite part was, she makes it over and she's, you know right then and there that there's peace coming her way, mm-hmm. maybe. And then as soon as you see that blanket, it was, that foil blanket was a little reminiscent of real life news that sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, we had seen the migrants and stuff like that. But she was, she was a refugee from the United States mm-hmm. Seeking asylum. Mm-hmm. And it was so amazing to see them right then and even, you know, say all the, they were actually pointing the actual points of asylum. They were kind of, are you this? Are you that? I forget exactly what they said, but you fear persecution.
Yeah, and for being a woman.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, doing all the sort of the checklist. And she's like, yes, please help. So that was amazing to watch, yeah.
Yeah, it was good to see someone's journey actually, you know, make it through. Mm-hmm. So I was very happy for her. Glad the baby made it, too, because I was a little nervous because of the baby in the water. But I'm glad Emily made it, and then she got in contact with, you know, June's loved ones. So that was good to see June brought all these people together. Mm-hmm. But, you know, then we see her call her wife finally at the end.
Yeah.
That was like, oh, shocker, because obviously, you know, she had been waiting. She was afraid. Mm-hmm. And then when she does, boom, possible accident.
She just stops traffic.
Yeah.
Like, rude. What? I was actually really upset with the wife for that.
Really?
I was like,
what?
I was like,
no.
I would be livid. I don't care. If I was sitting in traffic.
She was shocked.
Girl, I worked
She
her.
Hasn't heard from her wife in what, like, years?
I get it.
Her world stopped.
Yes,
literally.
It did.
But as someone who deals with LA traffic, I could not help but be like, why would you do that? How rude. Just pull over and put on your blinkers.
Okay, yeah, she could have
pulled
over.
You took up two lanes of traffic.
I don't even think
she could control her emotions at that point. You know, you're just super shocked.
I've received some horrible news driving through LA and been like, one second, click. Okay, say it again.
Yeah, oh, you always gotta ask somebody, are you driving, before you give that kind of news, but
that's fine. I mean, how could she say that? Because it's like, I'm here.
But it took her a second to get there, and I also enjoyed watching her go to the doctor and just be a normal person, you know, for half a second, and then a lot of that PTSD starts to come back when she's looking through the little lenses and getting, you know, her eyes checked. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's still hard for her to believe that somebody cares for her. Yeah. And that was cool.
I was happy that they got straight to it, that we didn't have to go through like a whole thing of
like days of waiting.
That was the thing with Moira when she was on her way out. I appreciated that then. I don't think I'd appreciate it now, that it took her so long to finally get to Canada and like she had to trek by herself and like through the winter and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If they had done that with a baby, I'd been like, there's no way this baby's going to live.
Yeah,
like, there's just no way. And so for them to not only get her to Canada within the first episode, but to get her to Luke and Moira within the first episode. Sorry, I say Moira like from Hook. So if I say it with an English accent, that's why. So, Moira. It was just great to see them as a unit come together so quickly.
Yeah.
It was also kind of heartbreaking, though, to see Luke not dealing with it well. Like, the picture and then the drinking, because he has a child, but it's not technically his child, but it's his wife's child. Like, what were both of your thoughts on that?
Oh, you know, I felt so bad for him because he didn't want to get too excited, but you saw him run out of his apartment and you know, see, like, what is this call I got? Mm-hmm. And he's thinking, maybe my daughter's here, maybe my wife is here, maybe some good news.
Yeah.
And then it's a picture of his daughter, and then a stranger comes up to him with a new baby.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? Like, his heart dropped. And I mean, claps for him. Kudos for him to even taking them in. Because he could have been like, you know what? Even though this is my wife's child, this isn't my child. You know what I mean?
That. I mean, that would have been harsh, yeah.
You know, it's not his child. And he has to take these people in that are that are coming in his life, but they're not his real family. They're extended family, but they're not his family who he wants to hold in his arms so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough, and babies are, I mean, don't even hand me one. I don't know what to do with it, is what's coming out of its mouth.
I just imagine they keep you up all night, right? Like, that's all.
This is adorable. Goodbye.
Marie Thomas said, I do not feel sorry for him. So
that's right. It's his duty, yes, to step up to the plate while June is, you know, changing the world, so.
There was a point, though, where he does admit that it's not necessarily that he doesn't like the baby or doesn't even like Emily. It's just that he feels kind of as a failure because June stayed to go save their daughter, and he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, got shot. Like, you were trekking.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's even alive, you know?
Yeah. I for sure thought he was dead early on. But it was just great to kind of get that and to have have something to be excited for. Because I know that she's still dealing with a lot of just PTSD from Gilead, from her time at the Jezebels. And there's that whole thing about, I think last season, about how she just didn't want a woman to touch her. Like, she was, like, had that moment in the bathroom. So for her to be like, I'm not well, I just have something to focus on. It's like, yeah, that's true.
That's perfect, yeah.
It was a perfect way to kind of wrap that up. Speaking of which, are there any other thoughts from the chat about the
Yes, Luke and Aunt Lydia have had the most realistic reactions in the first three episodes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Someone else is saying Luke is fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone says that they only captured Florida in the first season. Parts of America are still in fight. And then Diana said, I bet Gilead government is exaggerating how well they are doing.
Oh, for sure. So. I believe they also captured Boston because this takes place in Boston. Thank you guys so much for staying in the chat with us. As always, we do appreciate everything that you bring to the AfterBuzz family and for being fans. And Veronica, do you have something to say on that?
So before we move on to our next topic, we just want to say, you know, thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. That is who we are. But we need your, you know, support to help continue to grow this situation. Mm-hmm. So give us a thumbs up, you know, comment as you are. Mm-hmm. We love you for that. Subscribe. And subscribe. Yeah.
Yes. Five stars.
But you guys being a part of the AfterBuzz family is, you know, something we live for and we appreciate it. So yeah, keep at it, guys.
Thank you guys so much. As always, five stars if you're nasty, as Ty Matthews likes to say. Oh. And a little leftover from the Magicians for you. So please stay tuned, give comments, tweet at us, all that kind of fun stuff. I don't check Twitter that much, but I do read everything you say. All right, so let's go ahead and go into the Waterfords. So, Serena. Y'all go first. I got a lot to say, and I'm just going to try and not say as much as I want. But
just say it, go.
I just, you know, I have a history of hating Serena.
Sure.
Full-on history. Even when they tried to make her likable last year, I was like, I'm not for this.
Right.
I'm not saying I like her. But I have a lot of what is edging upon empathy for her at this point.
Edging. Okay, I like that.
We have not reached empathy. She is still...
I think you will.
I'm starting to fall for her. You know, at the end of last season, she really did step up and show... Okay, I am going to be a good mother and let my daughter go because she really shouldn't live this life. Yeah. So for her doing that, I was like, wow, okay, you have some heart inside of you. Yeah. And we even saw some of that when she was taking care of the baby. But now you see after her finger's been cut off and she's really, feeling that anger towards her husband and towards this life she's been living. Mm-hmm. And she sees, you know, how her mother is treating her. And that's kind of how she treated June. So now it's coming all full circle. Yeah. And I think she's starting to, you know, her heart is starting to soften up. And I'm starting to like her more. Because I wasn't for her at first. But now I'm kind of like, I feel like I'm going to like you.
All it took was her losing a finger.
That crazy, you know,
and a child.
That's like real life. Nobody, you know, likes to. I don't know if what the word is, but move beyond their bubble a lot of times until it like comes crashing into their bubble, and then they got to wake up and they don't have a choice. So that's what's happening to Serena. But I have hope that because of the situation and what she's been through, there's no turning back. Like she needs to move forward and really try to change this world. I think it would be really sad to see her kind of move back into her role of Gilead. I don't know. That would be hard to watch.
Yeah, I think it's also going to be tough for her to transition out of that mindset because she's one of the founders of Gilead, you know?
Right.
She was the one who helped basically set up how the world was going to work along with Joseph Lawrence, along with all these others who we have probably yet to meet. So it's her baby. And that's why I was always like, well, you did this to yourself.
She did.
I didn't think she realized how it would affect her, though. You know, she was thinking about everyone else, and she didn't realize she would be put in that box.
She was in a place of privilege,
Yeah. And I think it's also, it speaks to that kind of pious mindset that it's easy when you're looking from the top to look down at the people below, but you need to also realize that you're not that close from the bottom. Like, you are basically in a blue dress and not a red or a pale green.
That's exactly even
you're still in a dress.
Oh, I kept saying this last season, even the most powerful woman in that world has no power. Exactly. You know, they're not valued. So it's interesting.
And I personally like it when I see a woman being destructive because I don't think we get to showcase our destruction, our desire for destruction as often as I think we should. So when she burnt down the house, that's the moment that I was like,
yes, that was the moment.
I mean, she just stood there and watched it. I was like, right? For a minute, I didn't know if she was going to jump into the fire too.
Oh, no.
I was just kind of like, okay.
And to burn the bed.
Yeah.
You know, she could have burned anything.
That's symbolic.
That was symbolic.
So symbolic. Yes.
But to be like, this is not what I wanted. And this, and also because it speaks also to that moment from last season where she did talk, or where she did like actively see that she was a part of another woman being raped when she like, holds the hand down aggressively.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, finally. She's seeing that this is just horrible, horrible, horrible.
And you know what else I think might have triggered it? Whenever June told her, I hope this hurts as much as it did when my baby was screaming because you guys hunted me down. That part, I was like, whoa, that was deep. You know, she was basically saying, this is how you're feeling right now is exactly how I felt when my baby was being ripped out of my hands.
Yeah.
It's like poetic rage on screen. Yes. That was the moment of my my favorite moment out of this entire, you know, for all three seasons.
You know, she didn't slap her. She didn't freak out.
I was so surprised she did not get hit one time.
Yeah. Well, on Lydia. But we'll get there.
Yeah.
But before we move on from, well, I do want to talk about Pamela. So, Serena's mom.
Oh, okay.
I don't know about you guys. Okay, listen, I love my I love my mom.
Mom, if you're watching.
But I definitely was having, like, flashes while watching this. I was like, oh. Because there is that kind of, it's not necessarily that my mom is, like, overly pious, a little bit. But, like, more of, it was kind of that dynamic of the mother-daughter of, like, this is who I expect you to be versus who you become.
Yeah.
And seeing Serena kind of finally breaking away and finding her own path, I thought that was a really interesting dynamic. What did you all feel about Pamela,
the mom? I was not feeling her at all.
Yeah.
No, I did not like her. She, you know, she's like, you know, Mrs. Waterford is really trying to explain to her, this is what happened. She's like, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I don't care. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't want to go back with him. She said, you are nothing without him. Yeah. I was like, wow. Well,
but, you know, she is right about that. In Gilead, she is nothing. There's no use for her.
Yes, there's no use for her.
In Gilead without Fred.
Yes, that's true. But, yeah. I mean, as your daughter, she's coming to you for advice and for comfort, and you just completely turn her away.
Yeah. That's all she knows. I you know, I think she's, a lot of these characters are in survival mode or indoctrinated or I don't know what. But that mom, I think that she means well. But, yeah, it's awful to see how blind she is. Like, like many of the people there, you know, they start the praying circle, and it's all too much for Serena, especially when they start the talking about serving your husband and all this stuff. You kind of see her reaction, and it's like, but I don't know. Maybe she can get through to her mom.
Maybe.
You never know. Maybe, yeah. Or maybe not. She's like, nah.
Well, she called it drama. And I'm like, oh, those are just fighting words. Whenever your mom's like, oh, you're being dramatic, it's like, I will throw this table through the wall. And then for when they're doing the prayer and it says for the husband is ahead of the wife. I'm just like, nope. I just,
Just
never.
That wasn't shocking.
And then for Fred, and I think we've completely, if there was ever any hope for Fred, it's completely gone now.
Mm-hmm.
And just between his scene with the Jezebel.
Oh,
and I knew, I was like, he's with the Jezebel right now from Jem.
I was thinking he might have been with June.
Me too.
Yeah.
I thought Serena.
June.
No, with June. Yeah, we thought
he was practicing.
I thought
he was practicing with June.
Oh, no. I was like, he's in the Jezebel. It looks like a Jezebel place. The lighting looks like Jezebel.
Huh.
I was like, nice trick, though.
Yeah.
He's not saying this to
Serena. Oh, you caught that right away. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. I thought for a second it was June as well.
But, and then also when he says that he thinks, he's so
sentimental,
proud to have to be in control, or he says something about, I'm so proud to have to be in charge of such a strong woman. And I was like, ew.
He said that to
Serena. He said something like, I'm so proud. If you know the exact line, please let us know. But he said something along the lines of, like, yeah, I'm so proud to be in control of,
like before she burnt the house down,
you're saying? Yeah. Right before she burnt the house down when he was telling her to clean her wound.
I think he was trying to make peace and maybe trying to build her up. He's but like a smooth talker. Oh, it's disgusting.
A crap line.
It's gross.
So when his study got blown up, I was like, yes. Burn it. Is he in there, too?
He's got good charisma, but he's that, you know, like that guy that will tell you, you know, that will be in a room with a hooker practicing what he's gonna get, what he's gonna tell his wife to win her back. And it's such a...
Do you think he has good charisma?
Yes, I do think he.
Yeah. I feel like it's... Yeah. He would be more like that guy that I would see him hitting on a lot of women. And, like, you see, like, people working, like, he'd be working on it, but I'd be like, that guy's a psychopath.
Well, yeah,
he's a psychopath.
But he has power. That's the thing, too. A lot of women are attracted to power, and he has power. And so, and all the dynamics in that world. Yeah. She's like, I'd pass.
No, I'm good. You're plus, Joseph Fiennes looks like a little squirrel now. Squirrely little dude. He's not Shakespeare in Love Joseph Fiennes anymore. So, that's just how
compliments to the acting.
Yeah. All right, so let's check in with the chat before we move on to the next topic. What were their thoughts on the Waterfords?
Okay, he has the quote. James has the quote.
Yes.
Waterford's comment is, I've been blessed to be the master of an incredible woman.
Even worse! Okay.
Serena is an oppressed as any woman there, is as oppressed as any woman there, but it's still hard to give her sympathy.
Yeah.
By the way, that's my husband writing
that. Oh, that's your husband?
I was like, James!
Oh my goodness,
shout out, hubby. Great observation.
Thank you, James. That's great.
I love that.
Aww, it's true, though.
He watches the show with me, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, awesome. Thank you. I think it's something to be said about, like, even when, in real life, even as women, like, even when we're in positions of power, that we can still be oppressed. And that sometimes we won't even see it with our own eyes, that we are being oppressed, or we might believe in certain things that, you know, I understand why you believe them, but maybe not everyone believes it, and maybe you should, like, not change laws for beliefs, and they should be to help people. Anywho.
It's crazy what's happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
You're
allowed
to your beliefs, but separation of church and state, you know what I'm saying?
Well, on that note, you know, I'm a proud feminist. I always, you know, hashtag feminism, the future is female, all that stuff, and sometimes when I put that stuff online, it's... It really comes from, you know, a place of, I don't know, inspiration, but the men that I don't know are so threatened by these things that are not even addressed to men. It's just celebrating womanhood, and I'll get, you know, messages or from people I don't know, usually men, but they'll say stuff like, well, you know, feminism is not needed. Guys can go, you have equality. And it's like... It's kind of like what you were saying,
it's
where
like a post-racial society and feminism and everything's great.
You know, because we can, you know, be a doctor or a lawyer or a judge, so everything's okay. But, you know, as we know, it is not.
It is not, guys. Handmaid's Tale is, if you were watching Handmaid's Tale, hoping that we'd be like, Gilead sounds like a great place to be. I don't think you got the message.
Oh my gosh, right? Damn, shush, there's a few men in Congress and Senate who would like that, but you know.
Yeah.
This show is real.
Yes. They might be giving them too many ideas, though.
Right?
It
might. Mm. But speaking of which, just go ahead and segue into the woman of the hour, June.
Woo!
Oh, June.
Wow.
You should have just got on that damn van. Just get in the truck. Send somebody down to get your data. It's okay. I know. You gotta do what you gotta do. Like, who else is gonna do it?
She's such a fault. I don't know what the character, what the right word is, but she's so faulted. Not faulted. What's it? Like, not damaged, but she's such
flawed?
A... Flawed. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes. Such a flawed, flawed character, but, like, where she has all these opportunities, she kind of messes it up, you know?
She keeps messing
up the situation. But again, it's coming from a place of resistance, and so it's coming from a good place. But
she's doing a lot this season.
A lot.
She's pushing some boundaries, and I'm like, be a little bit smarter.
She's been in the house for 1 week and is already, you know, kind of controlling Lawrence. And she's like, yeah, just let them stay. Mm-hmm. We'll keep them in the basement. He's like, get them out. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know,
she's burying about
she's
it.
She's dead. Yeah. She's like, how? I just don't understand how. I mean, obviously, she's the main character. She's going to live. Yeah. But she gets away with so many things.
Yeah.
And even Aunt Lydia said, you should be hung on the wall. Mm-hmm. If it was anyone else, yeah, they would have been hung on the wall for the kidnapping the baby and mm-hmm. running. Well, they haven't really revealed that. That was her yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Waterfords know it was her.
They've covered up for her a
lot. Yeah. And then, you know, she went to go see Hannah. If anyone else body did that, dead. Yep. You know, the way she talks to Mr. Lawrence, you know, it's just kind of like,
yeah.
Apparently she's never been put in her place. I mean, obviously, it's resistance. The season's about resistance, so I'm all for it. But it's just like, so it's kind of unreal how much she gets away with.
That is true. And I was talking about that before we even came in, that it's one thing that she's constantly, you know, being quote-unquote saved by the Waterfords, mm-hmm. that they're covering for her because they want to keep face because basically Fred just wants to stay in power. But at the same time, there are things that have happened to other characters that should have happened to her. Like, Serena lost her finger, you know?
Yeah.
Emily doesn't have a clitoris anymore.
Poor baby.
These are things that are happening to them. And June is still, like, physically fine. She might have got some lacerations on her feet, but she has lost no parts of her body. Wow. Even once her face lost her eye.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how is she doing this?
That's the main character.
Not realistic.
Well, I do think some of it has to do with her relationship building. Obviously, they focus more on her, and so we get to see that more. But she gets close with people, and she develops, like, these relationships, for better or for worse. She really bonds with people, and she kind of gets them in their pocket. So I don't know. It might be her relationship building skills.
Maybe. I definitely agree with that with the Waterfords. But for Commander Lawrence, she doesn't know him well enough yet.
Yeah, and I'm happy to see that. True. He's a tougher person to figure out. Like, I don't know if I should like him or not. I clearly know I shouldn't like him because he helped build Gilead and he came out with the colonies and he's a horrible human being.
But then he helped Emily out. So it's like,
he feels guilt and he feels like she's really smart. He's like,
but then he also knows that, you know, the aunts, Marthas are also helping women escape. So mm-hmm. it's like he knows all of this is happening, mm-hmm. but
he has my brain twisted.
This is the one character. Exactly. What is going on?
I every time I watch him, I'm like, is he good? Is he bad? What do you think? Do you think he's good or bad?
I think, shout out to Bradley Woodford because I love you and everything you do.
Phenomenal.
But also, I think he's conflicted and complex. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean he's good. It's like when, I think he said it, he's like when, or I've just heard this a lot recently, like the creators of the atom bomb expressed a lot of regret. Like, I think there's that quote of like, I can't remember the guy who created the atom bomb,
but that's all right.
He says something along the lines of, the rocket landed, did everything perfectly and functioned perfectly. It just mm-hmm. landed on the wrong planet. Because, like, the original intention of him even coming up with the atom bomb was for space travel.
Oh, wow.
Like, and we used it each other.
That went wrong.
It's kind of like Oppenheimer? I think it's Oppenheimer. But it's kind of that way of, like, I set this up because I felt that, you know, if you think about
what was
leading up to Gilead, there was a birthing crisis, so women were no longer having children. People were infertile, even though they did discover later on that it was actually the men that were the problem, not the women. That's always just the case. Anyways, and I'm going to get so much crap. Welcome back.
Well, there goes the chat.
Let's go.
To get back on Commander Lawrence, Bernie says that he is the Willy Wonka of Gilead, which I think is hilarious.
Yep. That makes sense.
Then now we have a bunch of people talking about women's rights and how, you know, in the U.S. we're always having, you know, always our rights are violated in social institutions and we're not equal in the U.S. So, yeah, the chat is definitely going off.
And that's across the world. I know it's a thing because we are such a powerful nation that it's noticeable with us because we won't even give ourselves healthcare and we, you know, are trying to reverse a woman's right to choice.
That's pure insanity.
Which is, but at the same time, you know, it's because we're so powerful that it's so noticeable. But Ireland has only had abortion rights for maybe the past 2-3 years, I think.
Who?
Ireland.
Oh, Ireland, yeah.
And so this idea that we stand alone in our horribleness, I know it's easy because we, the president, but yeah. it's a problem across the world how we treat
females. Or
non-cishet white men.
Cisgender,
so
you
say, yeah. So, like, I'm sorry to say it, but, like, because, oh,
this
here we
real.
Go.
It's real. It's
real.
But
it's true. Like, yeah. There's a way that we treat what we consider to be the normal versus everyone else, and we need to kind of consider
equality
that.
For all, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, any other thoughts on June before we move into others? There's so much to talk about with June.
Yeah,
you guys, I'm so sorry. We're not going to be able to cover everything in this episode. If you still want to talk to us, reach out to us in Twitter and in the Insta, maybe not the Insta, but everywhere else you can talk to us.
Can I say one last thing about June? I keep trying to say Bradley Whitford, but the character's name is
Lawrence.
Lawrence. When Lawrence was like, you need to choose the five, girls that we're going to save, mm-hmm. that opposed to going to the colonies, we'll make them Marthas. That's all we can do. Only five. And she comes back with,
girls,
I got a lawyer.
Yes.
I have an engineer.
Yes.
I have a journalist. And I got a thief. And I thought, oh, that is so fantastic. And that is so classic Jude. And I loved it.
I was so happy that that's the choice they went with. And I was like, yes, if you're going to be forced into an impossible situation, make it work to your benefit. Because that's real life. Those things happen to people where it's like, you don't have a choice in a horrible situation. So make the best so that in the future you can end the horrible situation. I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
Last thing, and I don't think Lawrence saw that coming or is probably not aware that she's that kind of brilliant.
Because he still thinks women are dumb.
Of course. Yeah.
Lauren, do you have anything?
No, I thought that was a great way to end it. I loved how she just was like, here are my choices. And then she's like, she's going to have new alliances and they're going to be very powerful. So,
yeah.
Good for her. She's very smart.
She is
extremely smart.
She's very savvy. All right. So, speaking of just moments that really stuck out to us, let's go ahead and go into the top three. So, some of the top three moments we discussed over this episode were number three, that Miss McKenzie knew about June. I wasn't.
Yeah.
Incredibly shocked because she seems like Hannah's like a good daughter and that she would want to share that. Like, she's not a part of the resistance. She doesn't really understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And she did have a very nice house that she was living in.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it.
She's doing all right.
She's wearing that pink, though. That means that they're going to make her a handmaid when she's older. Just FYI. That's what that means.
Man. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, if she ends up being fertile, that's the direction that they're going to send her.
My heart is crushed.
Yeah.
Really? For a commander's daughter?
And I believe in the book, I mean, I could be wrong, but I believe that her being in pink means that, and also because even though she's a commander's daughter, she's not necessarily their
blood.
And then no one is spared. She may not, but I thought that was the case. I could be wrong, though. Number two is Nick is a commander. Nick, really? Really, Nick?
That doesn't surprise me.
I was going to say, he got recruited into the whole thing by Commander Lawrence, right? Or was it the man who was killed?
He got recruited, but it was like he had no other choice but to take that job.
Right, but he was like studying under the leader, so I knew eventually his time would come.
I didn't think that.
He's a little bit of a soldier mentality from the beginning, where he's kind of like, do the right thing, you know, stay out of trouble, move up in rank. He's very focused in that way, and June kind of pulled him out of it for a second, but I think at the core of who he is, he has that soldier mentality.
Unless he's doing it to, like, get them from the inside, bye, Nick. Anyways, number one is burning down the house, which is glorious.
Yes.
June felt the creaks of it breaking down and smiled, and I was like, yeah, get out.
Shut it down.
All right. And from that, let's go ahead and into Resist Sister of the Week.
I like that. That's good. Yeah, you guys. Okay, our Resist Sister of the Week is Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
Give it up for Miss Miley Cyrus.
Never thought. Ever.
The one and only Miley Cyrus. She is doing some fantastic things and speaking out on some really important issues. So last week she was in Barcelona, being Miley Cyrus, you know, traveling the world. But a fan grabbed her. A fan grabbed her and kissed her or tried to kiss her. And this is, you know, the video is a little disturbing. She has security around her. It's in a big crowd. And Liam, her husband, is walking with her. And everyone's kind of like, did that just happen? Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, shooken up by it. Mm-hmm. So she released a statement on social media about this. And I'll be quick with it. But she wants everyone to know about consent. You know, you don't just grab people. So she says, quote, she can be wearing what she wants. She can be a virgin. She can be sleeping with 5 different people. She can be with her husband. She can be with her girlfriend. She can be naked. But she cannot be grabbed without her consent. And I thought, whoa.
That's word. That's true.
Mic drop.
Just don't touch us. Okay? We just want to live our life.
Consent is sexy.
It is. Consent is sexy. So don't be out here touching girls or men. Like, let's respect each other.
Touch anybody.
Respect our bodies. Because you know what? You only get one. You gotta hustle through this life with it. You know? And it's your protection. So respect it. Okay. And that's my little rant of the night.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead into news. Lauren, do you have any news for who?
Yes. So, two of the biggest stars, Elizabeth Moss and Samira Wiley, were on Good Morning America, and they were talking about the significance of their costumes on Handmaid's Tale, and it's become such a huge symbol that the costumes were even worn for protests outside of the Supreme Court justice in regards to Brett Kavanaugh's abortion bill being, and so I didn't send in the picture in time, but, you know, there's a picture of women literally in the Handmaid's Tale outfits with the red robes, the white cap, standing outside protesting, and it's just become a huge symbolic outfit, costume. And then Moss describes seeing the impact shown in real life as an honor. Mm-hmm. And they said they used the words as never giving up to describe this season, season 3.
Nice. Yeah. So. I've seen pictures of that in Alabama, in Georgia, Missouri, Ohio.
It's a political statement.
It's great to see that happening.
Yeah.
It's 100%. A political statement at this point. And rarely have we seen, you know, shows cross over in that way. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously shows become part of people's everyday and, you know, pop culture and all this stuff. But in that way, that's very powerful. It's cool.
Yeah. She said, let me just say this. She said, to see people out here wearing those things and wearing the Handmaid's costume, it gives me a heightened sense of responsibility in the terms of what we are making.
Yeah.
So this show is clearly making an impact on people's lives around the world.
It is.
Definitely here in the United States. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
with everything that's going on in the government, but, you know.
Women are actually about to burn down the house. We're coming for you. Okay, so let's go into predictions.
Oh. Now, he's so bad at this.
Oh, no.
The prediction.
We can do it.
Goodness.
Pick a topic.
Okay, let's see. Okay, well, really quick, I want to read Bernie's comment. Nick is going to be sent to the front lines. Mm-hmm. Why would a commander be sent when that's an angel's job?
Yeah.
So that could be part of his prediction. You know, he's kind of given us some foresight into episodes. My predictions. Ooh, there's a lot going on in this episode. I think, honestly, for Miss Waterford, we're going to see a lot more of her character. She's going to come back into her own self. I feel like this season we're going to see her take back some of her power, what power she can. Mm-hmm. And I feel like her and June are going to find a way to communicate and kind of start this uprising. I don't necessarily think we're going to see too much of Hannah until maybe like the end of the season. She can't get her back that soon. It's not going to be that easy. Who else? Oh, Commander Lawrence. He's a tricky one. I feel like we are going to see both good and bad sides of him, but I feel like eventually, knowing June, she's going to warm him up. And that's kind of what I have for this predictions.
Veronica? So speaking of Lawrence, I think he... okay, so here's... Just in my head. Okay. I feel like the Marthas, this is getting out of control, the Marthas coming to the Lawrence residence. Definitely. Like, I'm all for the resistance, definitely. But when they kept coming in, one shot, there's blood on the wall, I'm like, girls, you gotta tone this down. Like, this, somebody is gonna find out about this, and it's gonna ruin everything. So my prediction is that eventually, somebody's gonna find out about a Martha at the Lawrence residence, and then Lawrence, Commander Lawrence, is gonna lose it and go after June in a very negative, nasty way. But then... June, as she does, might be able to bring him back, and then we're okay.
Yeah, I can definitely see that happening. I did want to say that Beth, the new Martha, is not a new Martha. We actually met her season one at the Jezebels.
She was the cook. They did that then. Little flashback.
Yeah, but that's, I was like, that's that girl, yeah.
Talking to Nick.
Yeah, talking to Nick. So she's been around for a minute. I don't know what's going to happen. We're definitely going to see... shout out to Ashley Lothero, who plays off Matthew, a fellow Chicago actor. I knew her back in the day
when we were
hustling on the boards. But I think that that's going to play a part as well in terms of... People are going to start figuring out that June is a much bigger problem. Like, she can only go so far before... With getting away with things, before it starts to become an even bigger problem. And either she's going to cause an entire resistance of women... Or, it's going to basically be like she has to go undercover and she's like the chosen one or whatever. Which, please don't go that way. I hate when people do that. Just like make her normal.
Well,
don't make her the hero.
Yeah. Julie says that Mrs. Lawrence is going to help in some way. When she's not medicated, she's a very good source of power.
Oh yeah, and she seems to not. She might be having emotional issues, and it's totally okay for a woman to have emotional issues and to still be savvy. So, like, she can do both.
Yeah, no, I love that. Thank you for bringing that up in chat. My whole thing is, does she even have emotional issues, or is she just playing a game here? Because she snapped out of that real quick.
Real quick.
Almost as if it never existed, and then she was like, okay, here's what you gotta do, blah, blah. Yeah. And I was like, who is this woman?
She could be playing a game. She could be playing all y'all. Don't think that we don't know what we're doing with our emotions. All right. Well, I think that wraps up this episode of The Handmaid's Tale on AfterBuzz TV. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And where can they find you both?
Yeah.
You can find me on all social media at Lauren the Truth.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for watching. Veronica Barriga online. Or I'm sorry. Find me online at Veronica B online.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. You can also catch me on the Black Mirror After Show in literally 10 minutes, maybe 5. All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And we will see you next week with a solo episode that we will do a full in-depth conversation about.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And see ya.
See you next week.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.